Hey, good morning and Maranatha. Jesus is coming soon. We are in the book of Revelation, chapter number 6, from verses 9 to 17. This is a very interesting book that gives us the revelation of Jesus Christ in a dimension that we have never seen. Unfortunately, so much has been written about the events that will take place after the church has gone home, but the church has not studied them. The people have not known about them. People would love to listen to a person who comes and give their own version of how they went to heaven and they saw the things in heaven. People would rather listen to stories of men and women who talk about their vision of how they went to heaven and how they saw this gold and the streets of gold and how they were told. And many people have been cheated and have gone to this deception because of listening to people's experiences. Paul says that the things he saw in heaven were so great that he could not be able to speak about them. The things that we read about the soon coming of Jesus are so great that our mind on earth cannot fully comprehend all of them. However, God, in his gracious love, he has allowed us to know. Can I say this? What has not been fully revealed, don't just keep looking for it so much. What the Bible has revealed is enough to keep us going. Let me bring you back to speed. The revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I had said earlier that the revelation takes in three parts. Four. One, the revelation of the suffering servant. Jesus as the suffering servant, as the slain one, as the one who died. And that we are able to go through the revelation of Jesus Christ between the time he came on earth until the time he died. That phase is called the revelation of Jesus, who is the suffering, slain servant. He came to serve us. He came to die for us. He came to bring salvation. He came not to judge. While Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, he said, "The Son of Man did not come to judge." That first time is called the first advent. He did not come to judge. That revelation we have dealt so much. It is done in the book of, in all the Gospels. The book of the Gospels given so much. And all the prophecies that were given toward the book of the gospel. Number two, there's the revelation of Jesus who have resurrected. Now, this is the revelation of after Jesus died and he gave up his spirit and he said it is finished until we saw him again in that great morning when Mary the Magdalene and the women went to the tomb first. Now, that is another part of the revelation we are looking forward for. We need to get to know that revelation. What happened? The disciples did not get it. Mary did not get it at first. They hid themselves. But this is where our gospel stands. That's why we need to study the scripture and get the meaning of the revelation of Jesus Christ as the selected Lord. Number three, Jesus stayed with them for 40 days. That's still part of the selected Lord. And he gave them how the expansion of the kingdom and how what to happen after that, how the church will continue and take over. And then we have the revelation of Jesus Christ as after he ascended on high. He led them as they saw, and they looked at him as he ascended on high, and Jesus Christ gave them the work to do. But then what did he do? He went to the at the right hand of the Father in heaven. What is he doing? Sitting at the right hand of God and making sure that our enemies stay at our feet. Isn't it good? He intercedes for us. He is a high priest. We call him reigning priest. He is the ruling priest. He is the forever ruling priest there in heaven. And he continues to rule. But as he rules in heaven, that's another revelation we need to know about him. Many people don't know what is happening today. As he does that, those who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, he has taken their souls and their spirits, and they are seated together with him in the heavenly places. That is where we are. That's what's happening now. But after this, Jesus will come again. It is the first dimension called the soon coming of Jesus Christ. The soon coming of Jesus Christ is what is written in the book of Revelation, majorly. That's what we are standing majorly. When Jesus comes again, how would he come? So we discover that coming of Jesus is called the time he come to judge. You know, he's coming as a king, and we are going to see it in Revelation 19, where Jesus comes riding a horse in the air. The first time he came with a donkey. He entered Jerusalem with a donkey. The next time he's coming as a king, and he's coming for war. For war? For what? He's coming on earth so that he can rule and judge those who have not been able to follow him. He comes and opens the seals. Now, the opening of the seals help us to realize the magnitude of his coming. It will not be a good time for those who have rejected Christ. So we focus on understanding how God will deal with those people who finally reject him. After the church and the bride of Jesus is taken home, God will judge sin and Christ rejecting world by allowing seven judgments, which represent lawless leader, lawless political leader. Yes, that is the lawless leader that's called Antichrist, or the man who does not follow the law. It's also called the lawless man, and he's also called the Antichrist. And finally, he will be called the judge. No, the beast. You try to come masquerading as the angel of light so that he can deceive many. Then we are going to see another angel that comes with death, another angel that comes with conflicts on earth, another angel that will come with famine here on earth, and great will be the pain. But I want you to discover that The church will not go through persecution or tribulation, because tribulation is the wrath of, is the judgment of the Lamb and the one who sits on the throne. And you ask yourself, why should the church, the bride, go through his the wrath of the husband if they have already accepted? Some people say is that because they are sinners, because they have gone and chased him out. Now, yes, they have chased him out, but they still belong to him. They relate to him as the bride. That's true. Just like the prodigal son, when he ran away, he did not have the fellowship with the father, but he still have a relationship with the father. The father still considered him, even though he was a prodigal, as his own son, and was looking forward for him to come back. And so this is the position that I take, that the church, that the tribulation will come after the church is taken, is raptured. But I want you to realize that between the first and the sixth, the first and the sixth seals, some great things will happen. Oh my God. Because tribulation is meant for dealing with sin and dealing with lawlessness here on earth. And what will happen is that that time, God is going to call his children, the Jews. Remember, he has not forgotten them. He though they forgot him completely, he is going to call a number of them. And particularly, we are going to discover in chapter 7 how he is going to call the 144. They go through pain, and through pain, they will surrender to the Lamb. They will discover all the prophecies about the second, about his second coming and his rapture, and they discover they have an opportunity. You see, the wrath, the rapture and the second coming is actually an opportunity, is the last and the final call. This is, God is still loving and is giving an opportunity for some of the Jews, all the Jews, to come. And in fact, the Bible says, all the Jews who live by that time shall be saved. When we look at the book of Romans chapter 10, no, 11, the Bible says, all Jews will be saved. Which Jews? Those who be remaining at that particular time, all of them. Romans 11 tells us they'll be saved. When? Between that time. Now, so this time the church is taken, Jews will be saved. Not only that, you discover a multitude that people could not count, from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. Oh, hallelujah, will also be born again. They will be standing before God in white and praising him. But this is the last opportunity for God to ingather the nations. So this time, though it's a painful time, is a time of grace. But it's a grace that has judgment. He's in gathering the Jews and the Gentiles, because the church is already home. And so this time we kind of look at what happens is that these people, the nations will you know, they'll go through difficult times when the witnesses, especially from one of this seal, which we deal on today, which is about 9 to 11, we discover about the killings of the witness of the truth will increase the pain, tribulation on earth. So this is a revelation. This is a seal, or this is one of the way that where the witnesses are going to be killed. And they'll be asking, and you discover after they are killed in chapter 7, they will be asking that they be repaid because of the way they go through. Now, when they are slaughtered and they have gone through this, many will refuse to give or to get the mark of the beast, because they have the mark of, and they will take the mark of God. There'll still be an opportunity for the mark of God. That's why we are saying in chapter 7, you discover a number, they'll take the mark of God, because it's an opportunity, it's the last final. So, but this killing of the witnesses, killing, that does not mean that they're forgotten, because death is not the end here still. And it will be, that cry, it will make many to come to Jesus Christ. Now, Revelation 6, 12 to 16, we discover the great earthquake. This is when the sun will be blackened. The stars will fall down. The moon will become like blood. You know, the Bible says that the mountain will vanish. They will increase the pain on earth. But this after the church is taken back home. Now, this has always been given in the book of Acts. If you look at this time when the earth, when the sun will become black, what does that mean? Probably that the sun will be taken a little higher when it becomes black. Do you know what happens when there's no sun? Do you remember how cold we go through? People have never seen it this way. It will be a time of coldness. God will use that coldness, that snow kind of, the moon becoming blood, and many will come to Jesus Christ. However, if you look at verses 17, 16 to 17, 17 to 15 to 17, not everybody will come to the love of Jesus Christ during this time. The Bible says that that there are a number of people, unfortunately, instead of running to Jesus Christ, they run away from Jesus Christ. We were just concluding some truths about what will happen between the first and the sixth seal. First and the sixth seal, this is the time of the Antichrist. That moment, the Antichrist will reign. He'll be allowed to reign. He'll be allowed to rule. He'll be a ruthless leader. He'll be a ruthless religious leader. He'll come promising peace. But from the first go, he'll look like a man of peace. And you discover some of the description as you go on. He's called the beast. He's the one riding on the white horse. He's having a bow. He's given power to conquer. You see, the Bible says he's given power, because it's God who give him power. It is Jesus, the one, Jesus will allow him to rule. Just like the way when Jesus allowed the children of Israel to go to Babylon, God gave the Babylonians, though they were the enemies of God and the enemies of the Jews, God gave them power to defeat the Israelites. God gave them ability to go through. It was God who allowed them. So God is God. He's sovereign. He can use an evil ruler to do his bidding. That's what Revelation will, that's what the six seals will be like. God is using pain, very great moments of pain. But all those times of pain, he is doing that so that he can be able to call his children back. And I told you that will be a great time of in gathering. Many more people will come to Jesus Christ, more than it is when they are being begged to come. So don't beg people to come today. A time will come. Today we can beg them. We can convince them. But a time will come when they don't. God will use his pain, his wrath, as a tool to be able to force them to see the reality, and they will call the name of the Lord. In the book of Acts, when Peter was speaking about the day of the Lord, And he gave a prophecy by Joel of how the sun will become black. I mean, how the sun will become, will stop shining, and the stars will fall down, and the moon will become black, meaning the moon get the light, its light from the sun, and the sun will be darkened. That means it is a time of coldness. And I want you to see that God is going to use heat. He's going to bring the sun a little down, or maybe the sun a little down. But this time he's taking the sun a little up so that it is cold, like more than the time they have in Antarctica. Those people, some of us do not know about snow, but we all have experienced time of cold, and that cold is uncontrollable. Sometimes people freeze to death. That's God is using that. But in that time, we discover many people will be gathered. The 144,000 evangelists, that time they'll come in. And the 144,000, we see them in chapter 7. They'll start ministering. And many people will come to the Lord. But today, we are finishing by looking at some people who will literally reject Christ even after seeing this. Look at chapter 6 and verses 15. You know, after they have seen this, Maybe you can start from the sixth seal. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. That's verse 12. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth as fig trees drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. Can you imagine stars falling down? The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Look at what some people responded or reacted. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, that's people, all people, hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the law of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?" Now, instead of coming to Jesus, instead of confessing their sin, they will be running away from him. This is the most unfortunate part. May God help us not to run away even when he chastens us. He chastens us by love. He can allow anything. He can use a stroke. He can use a cane. He can use pain. But all work together for good, even for us, for those who love the Lord. Father, help us to come to you today and to celebrate you because you have called us. And help us not to come to that particular time of the pain. Help the church to remain close to you and to keep on serving you and to keep allowing you to come back to where you belong. You allowed us to see of the book of Laodicea so that we can open again the door for you to come and dine with us. Lord, come and dine with us. We don't want to throw you out. Neither do we want to run away from you. We belong to you. We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.